Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. Governor Lamont, thanks for being here this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa.
So first of all, it sounds like you're going to be in Bridgeport later today. What's going on?
We're doing our best to make testing more easily available, especially folks in, you know, urban communities where it's denser housing. So we've made a deal with a lot of the churches. They're letting us use their parking lots. We're bringing in mobile testing facilities, and we're just rolling that out formally today.
Okay. Well, speaking of testing, this was a question I had immediately because I have a brother in Florida. I know some of our listeners had this question, too. And I know that you had mentioned it seemed like you were sort of on the cusp with this. You weren't sure really which way to go with it. But what is the possibility when it comes to quarantining travelers coming into Connecticut? What's the possibility in giving people a pass if they test negative in their home states before coming to Connecticut?
Yeah, we've talked about that, and obviously we recommend that. We haven't quite made that part of the protocol as yet, but I think it's something we ought to look at. Look, some people just can't avoid coming up here. They've got essential business, and for those folks, they can't quarantine for 14 days, but they can test and make sure they're not infecting themselves or everybody else on the plane.
Okay. So that's something that you guys are still in discussions with, and we'll wait for sort of an update on that probably next week or something if that changes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Well, kids have to wear masks at school. This was the big announcement yesterday, and very excited. I know a lot of our parents who have been asking about this for weeks. Rumors have been swirling. We know kids have to wear masks, practice social distancing, very strict protocols, which we sort of expected. Now, what does that mean for children with special needs who may not understand this? Social distancing might be incredibly difficult for them, and then having to wear a mask. What do we do for those kids?
Well, we certainly make special exception for anybody that, you know, can't wear a mask for medical reasons, as you point out. Beyond that, we're working very closely with all the local superintendents to get their very best ideas. Broadly, in terms of how to implement what our plan is to reopen our schools on time this September, and more specifically what we do for those kids with special needs.
Mm-hmm. Any idea what that's going to look like? I know it, when I was reading over what Commissioner Cardona was talking about, he was saying that when you're wearing a mask all day, you are going to get breaks. Teachers might have plexiglass on their desks so they could actually teach without the mask on. So I know that this is still kind of in talks, but kids wearing masks for 5 to 6 hours, I just don't go into the grocery store. I get sick of it after 20 minutes. And I mean, I know I have a little bit of, you know, so my question is, you know, when you talk about breaks, is it just between classes or, you know, is it something where if they're sitting 6 feet apart, you know, that they don't have to wear at their desk or, it, you know, what does that look like? Or we're not sure yet.
Right now, we just couldn't figure out how to pick and choose and who wears masks and who doesn't. And everybody above first grade or in Asia, you know, everybody wears the mask. So I know from a teacher's point of view and safety point of view, we thought masks was important. So we said, let's start off and ask everybody to wear the mask. You know, if you're a teacher, you're 10 foot back, you're social distancing. They can use some judgment there as they lead their class.
Mm-hmm.
But our real priority was to give people a sense of direction, that if COVID behaves, we don't have flare-ups like you've seen in 25 other states,
mm-hmm.
That we are planning to get our schools open on a normal school day, a normal school week. And here are the public health protocols, priority number one, to keep your kids safe and keep the school safe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of our listeners, Kathy, actually brought up kids wearing masks because you're right, Governor. I think that Connecticut has proven time and time again through this pandemic that we're following protocols overall, which has really made the difference. But we can't ignore the fact that there are certainly groups of people who do not believe masks are effective. There are people who believe that COVID still, after all, this is a hoax. So we won't even go into that. So Kathy's question is, will there be counselors on hand at schools to be able to address with kids, especially if they come from households where their parents don't believe that masks are necessary, why they should be wearing them in school and even just addressing this new way of life in general? Are counselors going to be up to date on that?
Oh, A, counselors will be up to date on that. And B, if you don't believe in masks and you don't believe in vaccinations, you know, we've got accommodations. You can stay home and homeschool your child or Zoom in as part of the classroom. But we don't want you to put everybody else in the class at risk.
So can a teacher, you know, like not report a child, but say, you know what, this child's not complying with the protocols and the school can have them learn from home?
First of all, we call the parents and let them know that, you know, the child says, I don't have to wear the mask and I'm a sixth grader and I'm the only one in the classroom not wearing the mask. And that sets a terrible example for everybody else. And so, yeah, you start off on a collaborative basis explaining to the parent, or as you say, the counselor, why this is a public health priority. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're going to find the trend lines go down and we only had to start with it this way. But, you know, 2 months is an eternity. We're trying to project out 2 months right now. We're just assuming and hoping that by maintaining our distance, we're going to keep the lines going in the right direction and we can do this safely.
We were just talking a little bit about the masks in school. And the other thing I noticed, which I think is brilliant, it actually kind of reminds me of the Beardsley Zoo governor, which was when we talked to Greg Dancho, the executive director there, he was saying, when you come into the zoo, you go in your packs and you stay in your packs. And when you guys were talking about cohorting, I thought the same thing. You know, your classroom is your pack. That's who you stick with. That's how we can track and trace. I think it makes a lot of sense. The only thing that I thought about was, okay, elementary and middle school, no problem. Now, when I was in high school, I would take biology, but the girl sitting next to me in homeroom was in chemistry. The other girl sitting behind me was in anatomy. So how do we even think about cohorting? Like, is that even a possibility really for high schools?
Tougher, no question about it. But first of all, as you point out, stick with your pack. Every public health expert, starting with Scott Gottlieb, FDA, said, it's less an issue whether you've got 18 or 24 kids in a class. It's more important that class hangs together. They take their meals, not in the big cafeteria, but they take their meals together. You can see your friends outside during recess and mingle it up a little bit more. But that cohorting is really, really important. Mm-hmm. You're right. In high school, though, you go to a different class for biology. And what do you do there? Our guys have said a couple things. A, obviously in high school, you're much more likely to wear the mask and a little less likely to be casual about that, or we're going to be able to enforce that. And secondly, they have slightly smaller classes and bigger classrooms. So we think we will be able to social distance there. And if you have to take some of it off of Zoom out of the library or something like that, just to keep the class size down, that's what we'll do in high school.
And that is true. You are dealing with older kids. So the idea of like, listen, just stop. don't be like hanging all over each other. Just stay, you know, just keep your social distancing, keep the mask on. It's a little bit easier to reason with high schoolers than it is with like a second grader. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, as you talk about recess, just sort of bouncing off of that, any update on school sports?
I know that Miguel Cardona, our commissioner, is meeting weekly with the, you know, school associations for sports. But as you know, we've opened up already for, you know, summer camp sports right now. Some sports are pretty easy to social distance. I think it's outside. So I would like to think we're going to get, you know, close to normalcy when it comes to our sports this fall, provided there are no upticks.
Mm-hmm. And speaking with Governor Ned Lamont this morning, school protocols, are you and the legislature already preparing to start talking about mandatory vaccines? I only ask this because, as you know, Governor, more than anybody, we struggle with the flu shot. And then when you talk about COVID, you know, I would think that you're already probably anticipating a little bit of a debate there.
Oh, I'm with you on this, Melissa. I felt strongly before COVID that vaccinations keep the public health first and foremost, and I want to do everything I can. Then yeah, I realized that for flu shots last year, but less than half of our residents took the flu shot. And obviously in September, October, November, flu symptoms and COVID symptoms are very similar. You want to do everything you can to eradicate flu. So I'd like to think the legislature will bring that up again soon. What good does it do as getting a COVID vaccine if 40% of the people refuse to take it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the big concern for sure. And the last question we have for you, Governor, is we have some people who are excited to see that phase two seems to be going very well. Do you feel the same way as phase two going well so far?
phase two was going very well. Our every metric got better since we opened up outdoor dining, and then last week indoor dining as well. We're actually 95% of our economy. What I worry about is a super spreader flying up from Miami and going mm-hmm. to a party in Stanford, and all of a sudden 100 people get infected. Mm-hmm. That's what I worry about, and that's why we put in place the quarantine a few days ago.
Yeah, and I think that that's smart. You know, I had my brother on the air yesterday, and he lives in Orlando, and he had said, you know, even when he's working at his golf courses, he has to constantly remind people, please just wear your mask. But he was up here for the pandemic. So, you know, all the protocols you had in place, he sort of brought that down to Florida. But even his own colleagues sometimes will talk to him without a mask, and he just walks away from them. And I don't know why you're not wearing your mask. I don't get it. So you're right. If they come up here, that might be our biggest problem. I mean, even our protests we've had under control, which has been really nice to see that people are wearing masks there. So for the people who are anxious because phase two is going well so far, any previews, any updates on phase three, anything you could share with us before we let you go?
Well, first of all, Melissa, tell your brother down in Orlando we love him, but please stay in Orlando a little bit longer.
He's got it. He's busy.
We'll Zoom our July 4th celebrations together. Phase three, we were planning to announce that in July 7th or something like that, give a little bit of notice before the mid-July time. But I'm looking around the rest of the country. I mean, I'm really cautious right now about what else you want to open up when, or maybe we need a little more time to see whether we can keep our region, which is an island of low infections, safe for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So I'll be cautious, but we'll let you know in about 2 weeks.
All right. Well, we so appreciate Governor Lamont. I told all of our listeners that you have for the last 3 months come on every Friday and have been so fantastic with our show. I know Kathy wrote in and said, please, Governor, come back once a month. I told him, you know, he needs a little bit of a break, but we would love to have you back on whenever you are ready to come back on, because you have been so, so helpful to our audience. So thank you so much.
Well, I never need a Melissa break. Let me say that. It's great being with you. I'll have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. That's Governor Ned Lamont here on WICC 600.